Right, so the reading is Philippians chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all of the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory of God and praise of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Question. Paul wrote a lot of letters to various churches. What do they have in common, those letters? If you look at the letter to the church in Rome and in Corinth and in Ephesus and in Philippi and Colossae and Thessalonica, they all start the same way. The exception is the letter to Galatians, where Paul is tearing a strip off the Galatian churches for not doing what they should have done and for deviating from the teaching he'd given them. But the other letters all start the same way. They start with thanksgiving and joy. Interesting. I'm a great fan of this chap, Alexander McCall Smith. I'm sure a lot of you have read his books. The number one ladies' detective agency in Botswana and the book set in Edinburgh. They're fabulous. This one is called The Lost Art of Gratitude. And I think it's one of his best. It's very funny, but also it's got some tremendous common sense. I regard McCall Smith as the modern writer of Aesop's Fables, for giving us things that are full of humour but full of common sense. The lost art of gratitude. It's fascinating that Paul, writing to all these churches, always starts by saying thank you, thank you, thank you. And he says, I've got joy in you. You're important to me. I really care about you. Thanks and joy should be the beginning of all our times of prayer and relationship with other people. But then who is he talking about? He talks about the partners. We're going to look at that in more detail in a minute. That's why I asked Roger to read verse 1, which wasn't originally part of the reading, but it's important. He's writing to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. Interesting. Some years ago now, we had a parish weekend, and our speaker was John Sentimu, who is now the Archbishop of York. At that time, he was only a humble vicar, but who knows? Archbishops come. I remember asking John at the time, where was his church? And he said, well, the posh people in my parish call it Tulse Hill, but actually it's Brixton. And what was fascinating to me is that after the weekend, which was really good and valuable, we wrote and sent him a love gift and said thank you for all he's done. And the reply came back addressed to all the saints at St. Paul's Howell Hill. The Bible is quite clear about this. If you and I are followers of Jesus Christ and seek to serve him, that we're saints. We're part of the glorious sainthood, if you like, of all believers. just as we're also part of the glorious priesthood of all believers. And this is the letter that Paul is addressing to the saints in Philippi. Philippi, you remember, was a Roman garrison town, the capital of Macedonia. It was a relatively affluent place because the Roman soldiers all had decent pensions and did well. But they were the people to whom he was wanting to encourage. The Church of England used to have just two forms of creed that we said in our regular services. Now we have lots more, and that's probably a good thing. But the shorter form that was always used in morning prayer and evening prayer, we don't use it very often now. But it includes this wonderful sentence, "I believe in the communion of saints." Now, what sort of communion do we have? We have the Eucharist, which is, again, thanksgiving. The word Eucharist simply means thanksgiving. But we use the word communion. And it's the same word that is going to come twice in this passage, koinonia, which is translated by at least six different English words. Communion, fellowship, partakers, sharing, all these refer to koinonia. So what does it mean? Well, if we look at verse 3 of Philippi 1, we see it there. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel." This word partnership is translated that way. The Authorized Version talks about fellowship. Is used in two different ways. First of all, it is used as like communion, something that you share together, having things in common. I remember asking a group of 15-year-olds how they would translate a partnership. And one lad said, "Well, it's sharing and share alike. Sharing and share alike." And of course it isn't. For most of us, we don't share and share alike. That church in Lahore in Pakistan wouldn't begin to understand the kind of affluence that we enjoy. The church for Syrian refugees just across the border between Syria and Jordan wouldn't begin to understand the idea of share and share alike. That church is full of highly competent, middle-class, technical, well-qualified people. There are several doctors, several architects, professional people as well as others, none of whom are allowed to work and have facilities to work. How do we have partnership with people like that? I talked about twinning our toilets. Now, I had to check with Sue Wharton and she put me right. Our toilets here at St. Mary's are twinned with a place in Nepal. Are we having a partnership of any significance with them? We are collecting at St. Paul's Nork, and I think it's a super idea. Amanda Reed's daughter is organising a collection of warm winter clothing to go to refugees in Calais, a bit closer, socks and trousers and sweaters and all that we can. Partnership. All I'm suggesting is that this time, particularly as we come up to Christmas, we need to think that through, each one of us, much more clearly. And it'll be a different answer for each of us. The other part of partnership is contribution, giving and getting. There's a wonderful verse in Romans 15, verse 26, when Paul talks about the people of Macedonia, and remember Philippi is the capital of Macedonia, the people of Macedonia and Achaia have entered into a partnership with the poor believers in Jerusalem. And they're obviously providing cash and financial support for them. That's part of it. We do a lot of this here, and we should be very grateful that we do. I'm not suggesting for a moment that we're all avoiding the issue, but yet all of us can perhaps think of more ways where we could have a genuine partnership. I have a huge admiration for the four members of this congregation who are involved in the winter shelter in Sutton, providing bread and breakfast and a safe place to sleep. And several of those four I know are here today. And thank you. We appreciate what you're doing. It's important. I was fascinated by a church in Kent that I know quite well that used to have what they called Mission Sunday, when they tried to get people to think mission not just across to Nepal or Pakistan or wherever, but mission to the next street, the next house, the people who live in the same road as you and I do. But they've abandoned the word Mission Sunday, and now they have Partnership Sunday. Interesting. And the newsletter, which was used, and I still got a copy somewhere at home, said that everybody between 3 and 110 can share in this. Now, if you're under 3 and you're over 110, forget it. You're not involved. But everybody between 3 and 110 can be involved in this. In that particular church, there's a lady of 101 who is absolutely crucial. What does she contribute? Well, probably two of the most important things that any of us contribute. One, she's a fantastic prayer warrior. She prays regularly and fervently, and she sees God answering her prayers. But secondly, she's a great encourager. She's somebody who really encourages people, and that's a tremendous gift, and it's a very important part of true partnership. How do I define what I'm talking about? I tried very hard to find something that would sum it up. Koinonia, partnership, fellowship, is the spirit of generous sharing as opposed to the spirit of selfish getting. When we cast our votes on Thursday, are we casting our vote for generous sharing or for selfish getting? In verse 5, Paul talks about partnership in the gospel. In verse 7, it's the same word again. It's actually an even stronger word, sunkokoinia, joining together with others, partners in grace. And Paul suggests that all of you share in God's grace. And that's the challenge for us at Christmas time. But he leads on to suggest that we can do more than just be partners. God can testify how long I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless. In the Church Times, which I read each week, every week on the back page, they have an interview. And I actually always go to that first, because I find it fascinating. They ask the same questions pretty well every week, but you get extremely different answers. And one of the questions they ask every week is, who do you pray for? And what do you pray for them? It's a question I had to ask myself. Who do I pray for regularly, consistently? And what do I pray for them? It's actually fascinating that Paul doesn't pray for good health or security or enough to eat. He suggests that the prayer should be that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Absolutely. Alex will understand this. When I say that we pray for Alex, We should be praying for Alex that she may abound in knowledge and depth of insight, that she may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. That's what we should be praying for each other. Other things as well. I'm not knocking what we are doing, but it's interesting how Paul stresses that you pray for knowledge and insight and the ability to discern what is best. And then those for whom prayer is offered in verse 11, which I think is a fantastic summary, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ. I love a modern translation of that, which says this: filled to overflowing with the fruit of right living. And again, Paul is challenging all of us. Are we filled to overflowing with the fruit of right living? This book, which I talked about at the beginning, The Lost Art of Gratitude, has a fantastic section just at the end when the heroine, who is a philosopher, and there's plenty of teasing going on about that, but she is asked to define what is a good person. How do you define a good person? She looks at a clump of the valerian plant that's growing just outside her window. For those of you who are non-gardeners, valerian is a wonderful plant with very gossamer-thin petals, which are a light purple. And if you see valerian, sometimes known as a Jacob's ladder, with sun shining through the petals, it's absolutely beautiful. Yeah, I think it's one of the most beautiful plants that we have. And she looked at that valerian plant and said, the German name for it is Baldrian. There you are. You get education every week at St. Mary's. It's named after the Norse god called Baldur. And the literal translation of his name is so good and so true that the light shines forth from him. Isn't that a wonderful description of the good man, the good woman? So good and so true that the light shines forth from him. And that's what Paul is aiming at for his friends in Philippi. It's what all of us here, the saints at St. Mary's Borough Heath, should be aiming at: so good and so true that the light shines forth from us.